40 million people have a good reason to care what's happening with this dam in the middle of one of the hottest and sunniest parts of the U.S.
Glen Canyon Dam is the most controversial dam in the country. What we're experiencing now is the most predicted disaster of all time.
That's because America has a big dam problem.
This is Lake Powell, America's second largest reservoir, which sits immediately above the Grand Canyon and backfills into the canyons below Arches in Canyonlands National Park.
The Glen Canyon Dam is one of a handful of dams along the Colorado River, but this one sits at the very heart of a crisis for Arizona, Nevada, and California. If you live in one of these states and if you drink water, you might have a good reason to care what's happening with this dam.
Glen Canyon Dam isn't like other dams. While, yes, some 40 million people rely upon the water stored here, it was never designed to actually distribute the water to any of those people. Water distribution happens further downriver. Consider this merely the waiting room before all this water goes down through the Grand Canyon and is deposited into Lake Mead.
Now, Lake Mead is where the real work gets done. It's where more power generation occurs. It's also where it gets sent off to the millions of people living in the desert that rely upon it. The Glen Canyon Dam was originally supposed to be a cash register dam, supplying both power and money to fund other infrastructure projects. And for a while, it did that. But today, this dam is a liability. Now, if the goal of your reservoir was to lose as much water as possible, you'd pick right here. Lake Powell sits atop a bed of sandstone, which is incredibly porous. We lose a huge amount of water just going back into the sandstone every year. But what's worse is that this reservoir has a massive amount of surface area in the hottest and sunniest part of the United States. We lose a staggering amount of water just to evaporation every year. This reservoir is actually very inefficient. The Colorado River is one of America's siltiest and most sediment-filled rivers. This river would normally evacuate a huge amount of silt and sediment, but all of that is now getting trapped behind the dam and backfilling all of these canyons. I wanted to know more about what's happening with Lake Powell, so I reached out to Eric Balkin of the Glen Canyon Institute to learn more.
So Glen Canyon Dam was really built to meet an accounting obligation that was required under the Colorado River Compact. The reason Glen Canyon Dam is where it is it's because it's right in the dividing line between the upper Colorado River Basin and the lower Colorado River Basin. Geographically, there is one basin.
The reason this dam is here at all is because the seven states of the Colorado River Basin were having a hard time coming to an agreement over how to manage this water. So instead of having all seven states fight over who gets the water, they created an upper basin and a lower basin in the Colorado River Compact of 1922. But there were some inherent flaws built into this original compact that we're suffering from today.
A lot of experts argue that that was one of the core flaws of our management of the river system. In 1922, when the Colorado River Compact was being negotiated between the seven basin states, they couldn't really come to a consensus about who would take how much water. And so they said, okay, well, let's just split the basin in two, and then each basin figures out their own compact. It was not an optimized hydrologic strategy by any sense of the word. The upper basin's required to deliver 75 million acre feet over 10 years on a rolling average to the lower basin. In order to meet that obligation in low years, and more importantly, not to send any more water than they legally had to, the upper basin states knew that they had to build a dam somewhere just to catch water to meet this accounting obligation.
Essentially, the only reason why this lake is here at all is because it was politically easier to build two dams instead of one.
So when Glen Canyon Dam was completed in 1963, that was when we saw the end of normal flows into the Colorado River Delta. And so at that point, reclamation had achieved their goal of catching the entire river. So I like to say that Glen Canyon Dam was built in an era of excess water. Glen and Hoover Dams were built to catch this excess water so that it could be stored and then used downstream or used wherever. They were built in a time where there was quote unquote excess water. But the days of excess water are long gone, and that's why today everybody's rethinking how we're managing water and what we should be doing with these dams. At the end of 1999, Lake Powell was basically 100% full. Lake Mead was almost full. The system was brimming to the point where throughout the 90s, water managers were stressed out that the system was too full. They had too much water. Yeah. You know, they had this big incident with Glen Canyon Dam almost overfilling in the 80s, and it had just been a series of wet years, and they were actually waiting for some dry years to come. But nobody expected 2000 to 2005. The Colorado River saw this series of five really dry years that brought Lake Powell from 99% full to 34% full in 5 years. And that really shook water managers. They thought it was a fluke at the time. They thought it was just a drought and that things would get wetter. And now we know that that's not the case. We know that this is a long-term pattern. When we don't call it drought anymore, the scientists call it aridification. So the warming climate and the aridification just compounds the existing over-allocation problem that was already there on the river. There's also a misnomer that, like, in the 1900s, we didn't know that the river was only 13 million acre foot. It was a wet time, and we thought there was more water in the system. That's not true. We actually knew that it was a drier river than that because the scientists at that time were doing tree core data. They were looking at some of that proxy data, and there were scientists at that time who said, you know, well, I actually think this is a 13 million acre foot river and not a 16 million acre foot river. Policymakers chose to go with the higher number because it made it easier to get the compact resolved and it made it easier to get it ratified through Congress.
And so there was already the built-in shortage essentially, like from the beginning.
Yeah, and you know, I like to say that what we're experiencing now is the most predicted disaster of all time. Everybody's known that this river is overallocated. You know, they've known for decades. Mark Reisner wrote about it in Cadillac Desert in 1986. He articulated it very well. So it was sort of like we were setting ourselves up for disaster, but it was just a matter of when it would happen. Lake Powell is less than 33% full. Lake Mead is in a similar state. So these Lake Powell and Lake Mead, which are the two biggest reservoirs in the country, they are only at one third of capacity. And this is after several decent water years. Behind Glen Canyon Dam, there are these tick marks drawn onto the dam that show the different elevations. And a couple years ago, when it got really low, you could see that they just stopped and the reservoir was way below them. And that was just the perfect visual demonstration that the designers of the dam never considered that we'd be in a place where they'd only be a third full. The point is they were not designed to operate at low levels.
Now, you might be thinking that this video is just a doom and gloom video from environmentalists shouting about climate change. And that's actually not the point of this video. The crazy thing is that we are having a real risk of water physically not being able to move from this dam down into Lake Mead. If the water line actually drops below the penstocks, the only way for water to pass through this dam is through four smaller steel tubes that were never designed to handle significant flow. And the last time they tested water out of those tubes, they noticed cavitation. And cavitation can be a really big deal. Cavitation is essentially where little imperfections create massive rippling effects that can actually tear apart the dam itself. So if the water continues to drop just a little bit more, we may be relying upon four steel tubes to deliver water to 40 million people that are relying upon it. And those steel tubes are woefully inadequate to handle the job. So that all begs the question, what's the dam solution?
This is something that has drawn the attention of the lower basin states, California, Arizona, and Nevada, because they understand that there is a risk of reduced deliveries through Glen Canyon Dam. So they have written multiple letters to the Bureau of Reclamation asking them to address the plumbing problem at Glen Canyon Dam. That's a very big deal. It's a very big deal that California, Nevada, and Arizona are asking the Bureau of Reclamation to modify Glen Canyon Dam so that it can operate at low reservoir levels. Not only does this show that the glory days of Glen Canyon Dam are over, it shows that this dam is actually creating a water risk for the Colorado River Basin. Because as climate change is putting pressure on the system, this river system needs to be adaptive and it needs to be flexible. And Glen Canyon Dam, as it is now, is just too rigid. You know, it cannot operate at low levels. We're in a place where the idea of restoring Glen Canyon, phasing out Lake Powell entirely, that's no longer a crazy idea. That is now within the paradigm of what's being discussed on the Colorado River.
Now, Glen Canyon is considered America's lost national park. This reservoir is at the heart and soul of the Southwest. It doesn't take a lot of imagination to picture that what is under Lake Powell is every bit as beautiful as the surrounding area. And it would absolutely be a national park if it wasn't underwater today. Now, one of the proposed solutions to Lake Powell is to fill Mead first and essentially drain Lake Powell and let all the water be stored in Lake Mead, which is a much more efficient reservoir. When we do that, these canyons will continue to reemerge as the lake levels drop and nature will take its course, flash floods will move through, scour these canyons out, and once again, we will see Glen Canyon.
Glen Canyon Dam had all these terrible environmental impacts. It's hard to find a comparison for Glen Canyon Dam because it was one of the most destructive environmental projects in American history. It drowned this canyon that should have been a national park. It had terrible impacts on the native fish species. It inundated thousands of archaeological and cultural sites. A dam like that would never be proposed today. And so we were saying, you know, if Glen Canyon Dam was this environmental mistake, that was made, you know, to catch excess water, and now there is no more excess water, why don't we put that water in Lake Mead and give Glen Canyon a chance to restore? That's where the fill Mead first idea came from. If you look at where we are in 2025, you can't even fill Lake Mead. If we took all the water out of Lake Powell today and put it into Lake Mead, Lake Mead would only be 65% full. So we not only can we not fill these reservoirs, we can't even fill one of the reservoirs. So now there's sort of this alignment of these environmental interests in restoring the river system with the sort of engineering and water delivery needs from some of the basin states.
Would the whole system become more efficient if all of the water just went to Lake Mead?
If we bypass Glen Canyon Dam, essentially, if we built bypass tunnels or opened up the old ones, and we left it as a backup facility for flood safety, that would increase the management flexibility in the system tremendously, right? We would have way more options about where we could store water in the system. Mm-hmm. Would it be more efficient to fill Mead first? The data suggests that we would save water by consolidating storage in Lake Mead. There would be less evaporation and seepage losses there by doing that. Measuring evaporation and ground seepage in reservoirs is really difficult. It's a notoriously hard thing to do from a scientific perspective, but the best available data suggests that we would increase system efficiency by consolidating that water storage in Lake Mead.
The U.S. and the world is at a very different place than we were at in the 50s. We are no longer reliant on big dam building and sacrificing our rivers for economic expansion. And while much of what we lost during that era may never come back anytime soon, the thought that one of our greatest environmental mistakes, that the sacrifice of one of the marvelous landscapes of the West could be redeemed in my lifetime, is actually a pretty enchanting prospect.
Glen Canyon has already been going through this transformation in recreation. It's becoming less of a reservoir destination and more of a national park style destination. Yeah. So we think that Glen Canyon should become a national park. It's more than worthy of being a national park. In fact, Harold Ickes, who was the Secretary of Interior in the FDR administration, proposed that the whole region, from Arches to the Canyonlands region through Glen Canyon and Grand Canyon, he wanted that all to be one big national monument. And so it's more than worthy of being a national park. That's the direction that it's going naturally because there's just less reservoir and more streams. And I think, you know, from some observers of the general public, they might look at that and say, well, that's a bad thing because there's less water in there. But Glen Canyon is naturally a very wet place. There's a lot of natural spring-fed water flowing through hundreds of side canyons and tributary rivers. Glen Canyon is at the heart of the Colorado River Basin. It's where all of these rivers and streams come together, and it was a really important place from an ecological and biological and cultural perspective. This is where the San Juan, the Dirty Devil, the Escalante, you know, and upstream, the Green and the Colorado all come together in Glen Canyon. It's surrounded by national parks and monuments. You know, if you look at where Glen Canyon is, below it is the Grand Canyon. Then you have Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. You've got Capitol Reef. You've got Canyonlands. You've got Bears Ears. At the heart of all of that is Glen Canyon. So as the reservoir drops down, what is emerging looks like these surrounding parks and monuments. It's an amazing reemergence of this place. We're seeing that the ecosystems of these canyons are bouncing back really quickly, and they're mostly dominated with native plants and healthy ecosystems. There's a lot of problems because there's sediment left behind. You know, being underwater for 50 years, it definitely creates, you know, havoc for an ecosystem. But we're finding that the ecosystems are bouncing back really well. We're seeing the return of wildlife and bobcats and beaver and deer, of snakes and frogs and bugs. You know, we're seeing functional ecosystems.
I recently set out on an expedition to explore some of the emerging canyons of Glen Canyon to see what I would find as these canyons are starting to come back. Now, we're just starting to get into the edge of where the old lake line used to be. So 20 years ago, where I'm currently hiking, underwater. You see right behind me that old white line. That's not the rock color. That is the old water line. So when I'd said back there that this would have been surely filled up with water, well, there's the evidence. All of this would have been under 50, 60 feet of water here. So our plan has been to drop into one of these canyons, bring our pack rafts, and then paddle through the lake and explore some of the re-emerging canyons. You hear it?
Wow. That's crazy.
So my dad's had this book of black and white photography of Glen Canyon that I've always looked through and paged through as a kid. And I've always remembered a particular canyon stood out to me. And that's why I've wanted to come here and see this exact canyon. That was the cover photo of this spectacular book. Behold, in all its glory, this is one of the most magical places I've ever been. I'm honestly getting emotional thinking about it because I've wanted to be here for so long. And also, it's incredibly beautiful, so spectacular, but it also kind of breaks my heart to think of what we've lost. There are certain places that feel sacred and holy. Natural spaces that channel the divine. And this definitely feels like one of those places for me. Now, to understand more of Lake Powell and the bad decision to put it in this location is to understand what we actually sacrificed in order to make this reservoir happen. Right now, I'm standing in one of the finger canyons of Glen Canyon, and this is an example of what we've lost. Now, this is a magical place that we are just starting to be able to see again, but a couple years ago, this was well underwater. And in fact, boaters would be going over this waterfall and never know that this was here. We're only able to see this now because of the severe drought that is impacting the lake. It also breaks my heart a little bit to know how many more canyons just like this we've lost to Lake Powell. This canyon is one of America's marvels. I think it's one of the most pristine and beautiful places. And to see it here and to see it having kind of recovered from being submerged and buried in mud and underwater by 50, 60 feet, to see it come back is actually really special to me. And I hope that more of these canyons can actually come back and recover.
It's hard to wrap your mind around how big this place is. There's Max. There's our camp. And this is the space we're in. Jeez.
So in order to shoot this video, I've been out exploring, backpacking, pack rafting across Lake Powell and Glen Canyon for the last 5 days. And in order to plan this trip, I heavily used Onyx Backcountry. They are the best navigation service that I've ever used. Whenever I'm going before a trip, I'll put the points in on my map, on my phone, and I'll save these for offline use, even though I don't have cell phone service out here, and it makes it incredibly easy to navigate and follow exactly where I intend to go. Onyx Backcountry is amazing if you are a hiker, a backpacker, a mountain biker, a rock climber, or even a skier. And if you want to save 20% off of a membership, either a premium or an elite, just go to the link below and use my access code and you can save 20%. And as a side note, it definitely helps the channel out. Thanks so much to Onyx Backcountry for sponsoring this video. Now let's get back to Lake Powell. No discussion about Lake Powell would be complete without acknowledging the archaeological and cultural history that was lost at the bottom of the lake. Now I'm standing by an amazing petroglyph panel that documents the human history of these canyons, and people would have lived in these canyons for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. Now a sad thing about the lake is that thousands of these sites are now buried and gone, likely forever. If you've noticed where the lake level rises up, the water actually tends to eat away at this sandstone, and mussels will grow on here, so any of the sites that were buried under the lake are likely lost forever. What I would love to see personally is to see Lake Mead filled first, and to see Lake Powell or Glen Canyon be decommissioned and restored to its natural state. Now what would happen is this lake would essentially drain and it would go into Lake Mead, and that would be the main storage, the main water storage for the Southwest. But in doing so, we would recover these lost canyons while making our water storage much more efficient. Now the thought that we could restore Glen Canyon back to its original state is an exciting one. And I'm encouraged by the thought that we could correct one of America's great environmental mistakes. Can we restore these waterways to their original state? And if in so doing, we make our current water infrastructure more resilient, more adaptable, and safer for our way of life here in the Southwest, well, I'd call that a pretty significant win-win.
Glen Canyon Dam is the most controversial dam in the country. Draining Lake Powell is a controversial idea to a lot of people. But when you go down to the place, most people that you talk to are on a spectrum of whether or not, you know, the reservoir should be there. I've found that most people love that canyon, whether or not there's a reservoir there. They think it's cool to be on the water. They think it's cool to hike up and see stuff. So I think it's just important that visitors from all perspectives go down and see it and have their own experiences and see those changes that are happening. I think when people are thinking about why does Glen Canyon matter, you have to remember that it's the sister canyon to the Grand Canyon. It was the heart and soul of the Colorado River, according to a lot of people. You know, Glen Canyon is home to many tribes, right? The ancestral homelands of multiple tribes throughout the basin. Their heritage is really tied to that place. Our heritage as Utahns is tied to that place. From the Mormon settlers to pioneers to early river runners who would go explore that place. It's such a deep and rich place that we are connected to as citizens of the West. And so when we're looking at the opportunities to restore Glen Canyon, to restore the Colorado River, you know, we're sort of rethinking our connection to that place. And it matters to all of us in the Colorado River Basin, whether or not you visit the Colorado River once a year, once every 10 years, whatever it is. It's kind of like the Alaska Wildlife Refuge. I'll probably never see that in person, but it's important to me that it exists. And I think that the same can be said for Glen Canyon. It's such an ecologically and culturally important part of the Colorado River Basin, and we're actually being given an opportunity to restore it. It's one of the few places, I think, where we can really look at the climate situation and say, this is giving us an opportunity. Rethink how we manage the Colorado River, where it makes sense to store water. We built this dam on false assumptions. We always assume that the reservoirs would be full. We know that's not true. Okay, we made a mistake. We know that there's problems with trying to hang on to that old mentality and trying to keep the reservoirs full because it's not working. So let's put that water in Lake Mead. Let's try to save Lake Mead as best we can and give Glen Canyon and the Grand Canyon a chance to restore.
It's amazing to me how even in this vast desert, there are canyons that contain magical places. Grottos full of springs and waterfalls and cascading creeks and sinuous stone as if it was carved by a sculptor. Past and current civilizations have called these canyons home. Native people have lived here dating back to around 2,000 years. While I feel a great sadness for what we've lost, I also see hope that Glen Canyon can and will come back, and potentially very quickly. While our hotter and drier conditions in the Southwest pose many risks to our way of life, for the millions of people who call this region home, The changing conditions give us a glimpse at the transformation and restoration of one of our lost treasures. Water scarcity will likely be a contentious issue for the foreseeable future. The prospect of the Glen Canyon Dam needing costly and dramatic updates to keep the water flowing at all is both daunting and a bit scary. This reservoir poses a risk to 40 million people's way of life here in the Southwest, whether they're aware of that or not. But this challenge presents a unique opportunity. The opportunity to see the second chance at a national park, and the opportunity to see the soul of the Colorado River be reborn. Thanks to the Glen Canyon Institute for helping me make this video possible, and for Eric Balkin's time for his expertise. And if you want to know more, make sure that you check out the links below to see what the Glen Canyon Institute is up to. As always, thanks so much for watching. I'm Eric Hansen. See you later, everybody.